Hello, and thank you for joining us for Options Talk with OIC. I'm your host, Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing at the Options Industry Council. OIC is a nonprofit initiative that was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. So here are a couple ways you can stay in touch. You can like the OIC page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_edu, and join our group OIC on LinkedIn. Today we are going to be speaking with industry experts about some of the latest topics impacting the options industry. There are a number of different kinds of option SKUs in the marketplace, but today we're going to focus on horizontal and vertical SKUs. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's get on with this conversation about horizontal and vertical SKUs. Here with me today is Steve Meisinger, Director of Education at the International Security Exchange. Steve, glad you could be here today.
Thanks for inviting me, Joe.
Now, Steve, what's your background in the options industry?
Well, I spent 20 years on the floors of three different option exchanges, and I've been with the IAC for the last 9 years, teaching options for the last 6 years. Love teaching options, imparting the wisdom that I learned over those 20 years on the floors to all investors, and it's just been a wonderful ride.
Now, which three floors were you on?
I was on the PHLX, I was on the Amex, and I was on the New York Stock Exchange floor also.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for being here today. Let's get right into today's topic. What's vertical SKU?
Vertical SKU refers to different implied volatilities for different strikes in the same month.
Okay, I'm going to ask for an example, but would you give me that one more time? Vertical SKU?
Vertical SKU, you have different implied volatilities for different strikes in the same month.
Okay, and an example?
That would be, let me just give some numbers. I think it's the best way to do it. Let's just say that we had a 50 strike with a 40 volatility, a 55 strike with a 37 implied volatility, and a 60 strike with a 35 implied volatility. This is an example of downside or negative SKU. The lower strikes having higher implied volatilities.
Okay, downside or negative SKU?
Correct.
All right, good. That seems easy enough to understand. How about horizontal SKU?
Horizontal SKU is really about time. So when you think horizontal, it's time. What we're saying here is that the model, when it was first created way back when in 1973, one of the assumptions is that we're going to have constant volatility, constant implied volatility. That's rarely, if ever, that just doesn't occur.
Well, you're not kidding.
Yes, of course. So when we have earnings, whether we have an FDA announcement or we have just a volatile market period, I think we as option traders realize that whatever's happening today or next week or next month isn't going to happen for the next X number of months. So we have each month trades at slightly or sometimes even large gaps between one month and another month's implied volatility.
And how about the weeklies?
And weeklies even more so, where you have weeklies giving investors the ability to have much more leverage. Remember, leverage is a double-edged sword. Leverage is great when you're right, and it's not so great when you're wrong. But weekly options allow, and they're very, very popular. They offer investors the ability to just lever down or lever up, I should say, into just a short period of time.
In that whole horizontal skew.
Correct.
Okay.
So you could trade a leap option versus a 1 week option, a weekly option. Now remember this, When you look at trading time, the greater the number of days that there is, usually the greater the risk. So if you're trading a one-week option compared to a two-year option, that has a lot more risk than, let's say, a three-month option compared to a two-month option. When you have less time, typically less risk. More time, more risk between the two different strikes.
Sure. I mean, you got to buy time. It costs more money.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, is there a difference between skews, like the smile or the negative skew, as they relate to vertical or horizontal skew?
Sure. If you look at vertical skew, again, we're saying that we're going to have different strikes in the same month. So then when we break that down, whether it's vertical skew or horizontal skew, when horizontal skew is time, you know, when you look at the vertical skew, it's really telling you where investors, traders think there might be a little more variance or a little bit less variance, and a vertical spread can be traded to hedge that volatility risk. Or if on a horizontal skew, you could be trading time and try to make a prediction that the volatilities are either going to converge or diverge.
Okay, you're covering a lot. You know, let's go back to the vertical skew. You're talking at the money, in the money, or out of the money calls?
Yes. They're all going to have different skews. But remember, options are about leverage. So typically, when we have an option that has a lot of leverage, a weekly option would be one example. Another one would be an option that is far, far out of the money that also offers a lot of leverage. That's a great way to look at the skew when we look at the option that has a lot of leverage. Remember, each strike price is going to have a little bit different implied volatility, or sometimes if there are earnings coming or a potential FDA announcement, we could have drastically different implied volatilities from one month to the next, or even sometimes not as much so in a particular month, but the vertical skew could be somewhat steep, but in the time skew, the horizontal skew, you could see significant differences in implied volatility. Although, let me correct myself. You could see downside puts in the same month that might have a significant difference from an at-the-money option. For example, you might see a far out-of-the-money option that might have a 40 implied volatility, and the at-the-money option might have a 20 implied volatility. So you could see a lot of gaps between the implied volatilities, whether you're trading time or you're trading the vertical skew.
And the reason for some of those price differentials may be in an announcement, may be supply and demand. It's really things like that. Is that correct?
Yes. Again, getting back to why somebody would buy an option, it gets back to options 101. You buy an option because you want limited risk. So maybe there's a large institution, for whatever reason, that decides, you know what, they prefer to hedge their portfolio by buying some put option that's 20% below where we're trading today. If they want to buy a lot of them, or we all want to buy a lot of them, that creates more skew. The price will go up as other traders are not going to want to sell that option in such great size, so they'll demand higher prices.
So the skews that are dynamic, just like the marketplace, when the skew changes, how does your position potentially change?
Well, the Greeks are affected by this. So, you know, people ask me, how does that work? When, you know, if volatility goes up, what happens to my Greeks? You know, of course, the Greeks are the delta, gamma, theta, vega, and rho. Well, how is that affected? Well, what happens is the implied volatility going up, if we have a lot of time left in the option, then your deltas, the out-of-the-money options, are going to actually have higher deltas. I know this is a phenomenon. It's hard to understand, but think about it.
So say it again. Yes.
Okay. If we have more time left, let's say there are many, many months, and now for whatever reason the implied volatility goes up, the out-of-the-money options are going to have a higher delta. And so we can look at this as a phenomena, because we really don't ever know for certain what the delta of an option is. We're using a model to make an approximation of the risk, whether it's the delta of an option, the theta of an option, all the other Greeks, vega, gamma, rho. We measure those risks, but the skew changes each day based on investors, traders, their demand for limited risk options will change the skew. And that's so important to understand, whether it's an FDA expected announcement, whether it's earnings, or it could be a market event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whether it was 1987, 1997, 1998, 2000, 2001, 2008, and we've even had something recently where an event happening in Japan might actually create skew, not only in Japan, but here in the United States and in all the other markets across the world.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you're talking about the Greeks quite a bit. I do want to remind our listeners that we do have a three-part podcast series on the Greeks available. So if you want to learn a bit more about the Greeks, be sure to look those podcasts up in our archives. But, you know, back to you, Steve, after my little commercial there. Which strategies might an investor want to consider in order to reduce skew risk?
Joe, the best way to reduce skew risk is something that I teach in our evening seminars. I try to hammer this point home. If you're worried about volatility risk, which again, we're all worried about this, what you can do is trade vertical spreads. Because if you go to an option calculator and you look and just plug in buy an option, you're going to find out that you're going to have a certain delta gamma theta vega and rho, fine. But if you plug using that calculator again, but now sell an option, you're going to realize that the Greeks are going to be moderated. They're going to be mitigated for good or for bad. So think about it just in simple state that if you bought an option and the underwire goes up, well, your option should go up theoretically by the amount of the delta.
Okay.
But what's the bad part of being long an option? Well, you have time decay. So a lot of it's not only time decay, but volatility risk that, and we were talking about that today, skew risk, volatility risk. So what can I do if I'm concerned about that volatility risk? I could sell another option against the one that I buy, and then I'm going to reduce my vega or volatility risk. And that's one. Vertical spreads is an excellent way to hedge, to mitigate the volatility risk.
Makes a lot of sense. And it gets back to, you know, one of those building blocks in options trading, spread trading.
Exactly. Whether it's a vertical spread or a time spread, again, there's reasons for all the different option strategies, and I'd urge all the listeners to go to the OIC site, learn as much as you can about all the different strategies. I get this question so often, Joe, and somebody might say, Steve, I've heard the best strategy is the covered call, or it's selling a credit spread or a debit spread. And the truth of the matter is that there is no one best option strategy. All the strategies are going to work. They're just not going to work all the time. And you have to take the amount of risk that you feel is appropriate. You might find a popular strategy is going to meet your goals and your own risk tolerances, and that might be the one that you choose often. But you want to learn all the strategies. Again, we're talking about volatility risk. Maybe if there's 252 days in a year, maybe that volatility is not necessarily shifting so much in a lot of the days. But during some period of time, you're going to recognize, wow, volatility might be changing. I don't want to really have this volatility risk. Great way to think about hedging that is trading vertical spreads.
You can never be asleep at the wheel when you have an investment. You know,
that's right.
There's risk. You got to pay attention.
Right. Absolutely, Joe.
Now, to wrap it up, Steve, I would like to ask you this whole issue of skew. Is it something that all investors need to be aware of, or is this really something more geared towards the professional trader?
You know, I think that as a listener, you're probably saying, oh, this is too complicated. Well, you know what? I think that we're all on this journey of life of learning. That the more you learn, the better off you are. So this is not such a complex subject that we all shouldn't learn a little bit about it. Some of us might spend hours, days, weeks, months, even years learning about skew. Fine, for somebody that really wants to delve into that. But for the beginner, the intermediate, that they're trading options, and sometimes they don't understand why the volatility changes or how volatility would impact a certain options position, I'd urge everyone to really think about the skew risk. And what it means, it just basically means that supply and demand will change the price, of course, of an option. The best way to gauge how it's changing is to look at the implied volatility.
That's very good insight, Steve. Thank you for that. Well, that wraps up our show for today. But I want to once again thank Steve for joining us here on the show. He conducts seminars on behalf of OIC, so check him out, coming to a city near you. And to learn more about options, visit our website at www.optionseducation.org or call our help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS. There's a wealth of information there that can help you no matter what level of experience you have. We'd love to hear your feedback on the show, so please email us at options@theocc.com. And don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. You can join us at LinkedIn, like the OIC page on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. And remember, a little options education goes a long way.